Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, AM 1570, and we're Baltimore Positive. You can find us at baltimorepositive.com. You can find us anywhere our 25th anniversaries will travel. I'll be bringing back some memories and some pictures out on social media this week. It's all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Far and Daughter. Wendy Bronfine and Lisa Schaefer joined us this week to talk about using THC and cannabis-related products for runners and for aches and pains and for topical lotions. All that stuff is out at Baltimore Positive this week, as well as our Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. We're going to get very aggressive with the Crab Cake Tour into November and December, kind of put things on hold, hoping the Orioles would get there. Now, Luke's got relatives hoping the Phillies get there, and certainly the Battle of Texas and all of that going on. Plenty of baseball this week. We'll be up late with all that. No football here to speak of until the Ravens get their 4 o'clock mojo going this week up in Arizona. And certainly a weekend for the ages, Luke, when it comes to how you expect the team to look. You talk about it for 6 months, 8 months of the offseason, and say, when are they going to put it together? When are they going to have a complete game against a quality opponent? And most weeks they haven't had a quality opponent to put in front of them, which may have been part of the problem, but certainly the upstart Lions, all the hype leading into the Lions coming into the game. A lot of Lions fans everywhere buying up tickets. I was very, very evident. Maybe as strong a visiting showing as we've ever seen from an NFC team around here, not named the Washington football team or Philadelphia. People can drive. But then the game started. And once the game started, there's, would you rather have Lamar? Would you rather have Jared Goff? And Jared Goff a 1-1 and Rams gave him up. And but they're winning. And they had a running game. And they had a running back that was hurt. But certainly far greater expectations. Much as we're feeling good about ourselves, how are the Lions feeling getting on the plane and going home this week?
Not good. Not good. And a reminder of how difficult it is to face Lamar Jackson, to face this offense, whether we're talking about Todd Monken or going back to the days of Greg Roman, for an NFC team that doesn't see this team on a regular basis. You can prepare all you want for Lamar Jackson. During practice, you can get clever and have one of your wide receivers who maybe played quarterback in high school run your scout team. But we've talked about this, and we talked about this going all the way back to 2018 and certainly in 2019 when Lamar was MVP of the league, that it's a lot like facing that stud starting pitcher who has a 100 mile per hour fastball and has wicked breaking stuff. And we say, what? The first couple times you see that guy, you're probably not going to have much of a chance against him. Those teams that have had more success against Lamar, and it's relative when I say more success, generally they see him a little more frequently. So in the case of the Detroit Lions, maybe they were a little overconfident. We think back to that game 2 years ago where, let's face it, the Ravens needed a 66-yard field goal to win in Detroit against the hapless Lions at the time. And they held Lamar and this Ravens offense in check. Although, if I recall correctly, Hollywood Brown had a miserable day dropping passes, or might have been a different look on the scoreboard. But they certainly weren't ready for what the Ravens, what Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson had cooked up for them on Sunday. I thought it was brilliant in the way that we saw this early on. Looks like Lamar's going to take off, and then he just flicks the ball to Odell Beckham for a nice gain. We saw Lamar have time in the pocket. The rare times that he didn't, he was able to extend and escape and do those types of things. Times where you thought he was going to run, he threw the ball. Times where he was able to hold it in the pocket and looks like the pocket's collapsing, he escapes. I mean, that's incredibly frustrating for any team, let alone an NFC team that doesn't see him as frequently. It's worth noting the only NFC team that has beaten a Lamar Jackson, team that, with Lamar starting, was the Giants and Wink Martindale last year. And we know how crazy the sequence of events was late in that game for the Giants to knock off the Ravens. So, I think there was some of that at work. I think maybe Detroit was a little overconfident, but they certainly got their feelings hurt because the Ravens beat the you-know-what out of them over the course of four quarters on Sunday.
Luke, you and I could sit here for all week long if I wanted to and bitch about the pregame shows and Sunday morning. And, Chad Steele throwing me out has forced me, onto the couch where I sit here and I watch ESPN and I watch NFL Network and I watch Kurt Warner. And Rex Ryan said something in the 12 o'clock hour. I thought it might have been Cowher, but it was definitely Rex. I'm thinking of what coach it was. Garrett comes on after the games, and he's great too. But Rex said something about scout team and coaching, and he's like, we would get a punt returner to run scout team quarterback, but they couldn't throw the football. And he's like, so we could never scout up a fast quarterback the right way and figure out the speed of it and what we're going to do. And if he does that, we're going to do that. Other than watching film, then it gets out there and your hips go one way. And that play to Odell Beckham was, I called it an RP throw because it was an RP throw. And you say RPO, all right, we're going to have sleight of hand with the running back. And I always said the ball would hit the carpet more often. And it did at one point. But I would say for that play and what linemen see, and they did a whole segment on this. I'm trying to think. It must have been NFL Network. It was Kurt Warner that did this piece on this about he had the girls flag football team from Long Beach out at SoFi Stadium, and he had girls running around out there trying to defend this, but saying what your eyes see on the play fake. And then you move to Lamar, and you expect Lamar to keep the football. That throw to Odell Beckham, the minute I saw it, I'm like, I've been watching this a while. I feel like I haven't seen that. As maybe we've seen it. You have to go back and show it to me. But I haven't seen it much where it really looks like he's going to run, and he pulls up and throws it over your head, potentially, or over lineman's head, or the rush four, five, six guys that are coming at him. The ball goes over the top of that to Zay Flowers and you get pasture. That's a whole different thing that needs to be defended now, where Lamar is going to have an RPO, run out, it looks like he's taken off, and still throwing the ball before he gets to the line of scrimmage. We haven't seen a lot of that. That's going to be something that's indefensible. I felt sorry for the Lions on that play when Odell Beckham got the ball.
Well, and this is why it was crazy to ever think that the Ravens, in some strange way, moving on from Lamar Jackson and starting over at the quarterback position, like that, it was a non-starter. Now they had to figure it out, and it took them a long time to do that, and they did. And we'll still talk about January and what's going to happen there. In the same way, Josh Allen and all the different other top quarterbacks that we talk about face that same question. But when you see that, when you see what it looks like, and when you see about the long-term potential for this offense and evolving from all these designed runs for Lamar Jackson to being able to do more of that, and acknowledging, yeah, you're not going to eliminate runs from Lamar's profile, but you can evolve and do much more of that where he looks like he's going to run and then you throw. And they've done it before, but that was an example where it was so evident, so extreme, where you just say, how in the world do you account for that? I mean, it really
How
is.
How do you coach that if you're Dan Campbell? What do you do when you're chasing the fastest guy on the field and think, well, we got him at least cornered. He's only going to cut a couple yards. He's not running for a touchdown. And he gets up and throws the ball over your head. They should do more of that. That was a good play.
Well, and that's why, again, I've been so bullish. Not that Lamar is beyond reproach, or not that Lamar doesn't have things that he's not as good at as other quarterbacks, in the same way that other quarterbacks can't run remotely like Lamar Jackson can do. It's part of his profile, but as he gets older, as you're now with a different offensive coordinator and a different system and a different philosophy of what you're trying to do and spreading defenses out, you're still going to use his legs, whether he's actually taking off or not. I mean, that's still the anchor of everything you do. And I think it was a master class from Todd Monken and from Lamar Jackson and this offensive line and these pass catchers of using that against a defense that, mind you, had been pretty darn good early this season. But when this thing is clicking and when Lamar's playing well, and when Todd Monken's in a rhythm from a play calling standpoint and the offensive line's giving time, boy, it's really, really difficult to stop this group. I mean, you saw what it can look like. And we've been waiting for several weeks to see this start to finish for a full performance.
The revolution, the revolution.
It was so dominant that they didn't even have to play four quarters. You know, I mean, Lamar gets pulled halfway, or, you know, I guess it ended up being a little bit past halfway through the fourth quarter. But It was that good. And look, this goes back to Lamar's passing ability and that being in concert with him as a rusher. And, he doesn't have to be the best pure passer in the NFL. He has plenty of passing ability when you use that in concert with his ability to move, and you use that against a defense, and that's going to make that makes the offensive line's job easier. It makes the pass catchers, the wide receivers, the tight ends, makes their jobs easier. It makes the play caller's job a heck of a lot easier.
It gets so, Gus Edwards pasture. It gets Pat Ricard. Nobody even respects Pat Ricard. He was running like, those two plays are an absolute warning to the defensive coordinator of Arizona this week, Seattle and Pete Carroll 2 weeks from now, Cleveland and Cincinnati are going to get it back. But they've seen it, and they've prepared for it. And they have 6, 8, 10 guys in the defensive room that saw it last year twice, saw it the year before that twice, got burned by it like Cincinnati did years ago with the broken legs play out there in Cincinnati. And everybody saw it in 19, and it took – Chuck Pagano's brother into January trying to figure out how to stop it and the 9-2 defense and all of that. But the wrinkles we saw and the success we saw, I think in full power, that offense in the first half, because they didn't have to play in the second half, but they did. But what we saw there becomes something that you're going to hear about at NFL Network all week. You're going to hear defensive minds, and Rex Ryan's going to come on ESPN next week and say, couldn't scout it. Jared Goff, they thought they were going to at least put up 20 points, 25 points, and have a chance defensively. And this thing, Lamar against the NFC, Lamar against unprepared defenses. And somebody said on my Facebook, and I thought this was fair, hey, these NFC teams, they see Jalen Hurts, they see Fields, they see Kyler Murray, they see that style. They don't see Lamar. I mean, it's different.
It is different. And mind you, the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, they've won a lot of football games too. And there aren't many teams that stop them either. So,
and the same thing with Mahomes, who does the same sort of razzle dazzle, has the same abilities. I mean,
Patrick Mahomes is in a class by himself, but Lamar is one of one. We've talked about that. And let me say this, because you cited Gus Edwards and Patrick Ricard, there is also some really bad defense going on. I mean, we've seen this. It's not as though the Ravens have wide receivers running, or pass catchers with no one within 20 yards of them. So there was a lot of just really bad football from Detroit. But
Greg Olsen on the broadcast kept saying, they're giving him too much space. Like literally when it was 14-0, he's like, these defenders got to move up and get a pick and make a play. I mean, like, because the ball's probably not going over their heads. So at least, but could a guy run by you? Right.
Right.
And that's what they're thinking. But it was as much space, as much cushion as our wide receivers have seen all year.
Fair. Sure. I'm not going to disagree with that. But, I mean, it's what, when it comes together and you play that way and you have every aspect of your offense humming, and it's not as though they were phenomenal running the football between the tackles with their running backs, but, they ran the ball. They threw the ball. Lamar had a perfect passer rating until deep into the third quarter. I mean, that just shows you what he was doing as a thrower. I mean, it was outstanding. And Detroit stunk. I think it's, when you have that combination, you see how dangerous, this offense can be. And again, when you have NFC teams or not even NFC, just teams that aren't the Bengals, Steelers, and Browns who see this twice a year, assuming Lamar is healthy, it is very difficult to stop it. And now you throw Todd Monken into the mix because it is a different coordinator. It is a different offense. The Ravens are using much more 11 personnel. I mean, let's face it. We haven't talked about this a whole lot amidst all the struggles, not even struggles, inconsistency of the offense, the up and down, bogging down, it kind of being a slog in the second half of some of these games. But let's face it, we've talked a lot about passing versus running, but just the identity of this offense, it's not as tight end centric in the sense that, okay, Mark Andrews is still Mark Andrews, of course, and he caught two touchdowns, but Isaiah Likely is largely a non-factor. You know, Charlie Kohler, we haven't talked about all year, other than, you know, these guys have, they've had a couple targets here and there, and they dropped a couple passes. So you see clearly the identity is different. You know, Patrick Ricard isn't on the field all day, every day, like he was with Greg Roman as the coordinator. So it's evolved, but many of the principles are the same in the way that Lamar Jackson's legs are, you know, they're the centripetal force for this offense. They're what makes this offense run. And that is not a knock on Lamar. That is not to suggest that he's not a really good passer. And he proved that once again on Sunday, that he's able to make a ton of plays with his arm. But his legs work in concert for that. And again, that's a good thing. That's a special thing. That's a great thing. For the Ravens, for them to put this performance together, for it to be as complete as it was, you're right. I mean, it puts the rest of the NFL on notice that, hey, this is what it can look like. You know, it was choppy. And, you know, how much of that was the Ravens and how much of that was injuries? How much of that was the opponents? In the same way that I just said that Detroit was really lousy on Sunday on top of it, there were also some defenses that the Ravens have encountered so far this year that did a good job. You know, so you have to give the other
teams
credit too.
Styles make fights. There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
So right. Right, exactly. And that, and that's really, when you hear the term, and I use this, and we're all guilty of using this, week-to-week league, it's such a cliche at this point. But really what that means is what you just said. It's all based on matchups. Every team has strengths and weaknesses, whether you're talking about coaching or players. You know, they do certain things really well, other things not so well. Teams are injured at one spot, they're really healthy at another spot, you know, where they might be able to have a distinct advantage against their opponent. So it is different every week, and that's why, you know, as much as you're encouraged by this, it goes as far as next week's game and the week after that and trying to stack. And it doesn't mean you're going to win 38-6 every week, but it's a reminder of what this team is capable of when it is firing on all cylinders. And it's a lesson to the Detroit Lions that, and any team, including the Ravens, take that you show up not ready to play especially against a quality opponent, you're going to get your feelings hurt. I know you referred to them as the cowardly Lions as they were leaving Baltimore on Sunday evening, but you know, they got their feelings hurt. And that doesn't mean that they won't be a playoff team. That doesn't mean they won't be good. Heck, for all we know, maybe that was a Super Bowl preview on Sunday. And if it is, the Ravens would feel really good about their chances in the Super Bowl against Detroit. But you know, this league is, it's crazy, right? And every time you think you have something figured out, I mean, look at what Buffalo looked like week 2, 3, and 4. I mean, blowout wins in succession. You know, we talked about Detroit and what they had done coming into this week. Not just winning, but winning by, you know, multiple scores. You know, I mean, they had won, what, 20-6, 34-20, 42-24, 20-6. And then they go to Baltimore against a team that had been good, but you know, hadn't blown anyone out. I guess Cleveland, they did, you know, with the third string quarterback who didn't know what he was doing. But the Ravens completely demolished them in every way you could think. So it's a reminder of, yeah, every week's different, every matchup's different. And, you know, you better be on point and ready to play, because even lesser teams in this league, like the Arizona Cardinals, for example, you know, if you go out there, you know, travel out west and you're not ready to play, then you're going to be in for a dogfight. So I don't think the Ravens are going to have too many issues, you hope, going to Arizona next week. But this is all very fleeting. And, we know that, and we've seen it. All it can take is one or two injuries at the wrong spots to change the entire outlook of your season. But based on what we saw for 3 hours on Sunday, That's what the Ravens have been envisioning since going back to the spring. That's what it looks like. You know, Buck Showalter used to always say that about young players when they, you know, that's what it looks like. Sunday was what it looks like for the Ravens when they're at their very best. And you see more of that moving forward. This team's going to be extremely difficult to beat.
Luke Jones joining us here. He'll be in Owings Mills all week. The Ravens heading out to Arizona. We'll have some best stuff around here this week, some great stuff, some of our best stuff later on in the week. I'm going live here earlier in the week and taking a little Halloween getaway here, half a bye week for the Lions. I don't want to harp on the Lions too much, but and talking about and watching the Eagles play as well, the other and what they're going to do in the NFC, who's going to come out of that. San Francisco with their injuries and their problems, we'll see what they had under the hood on Monday night as well. But for the Lions, when they do see Jalen Hurts in week one of the playoffs or whatever, because nobody's coming and catching them in the NFC Central, right? Or North, excuse me. But I mean, those other teams, boy, the Packers are awful. The Bears are awful. I mean, so the Lions are going to be a playoff team, and this is sort of where you take the legs of an ass kicking like that and Campbell, get them together. We'll see them on Thanksgiving Day and all that. By the time Thanksgiving rolls around a month from now, they'll be 9-3 or whatever they'll be. They'll be good, right? And you'll say, well, what happened to them that day in Baltimore back there against Lamar? Well, this is how you get better for the next time around. I mean, they got some lessons learned as well. And I think for the Ravens, beating a good team, because you and I talked about backup quarterbacks and Joe Burrow on one leg and losing to the Steelers and losing to the Colts and Gardner Minshew, for a week, the Ravens at least get to feel like the team they talked about being for 8 months. Like, to see it, that's part of believing it, I think, for some of the young players and some of the imported people, and even an Odell Beckham Jr. that's been around a while and has been on good teams and been on bad teams, to say, what are we? You know, well, we're that. And until further notice, and even if they go out and lay a steamer in Arizona and sneak out winning 23-21 on a 58-yard field goal, because that's the way they're going to win ugly games. They're not going to play like that every week. But you can look to it and say, and I guess that was the point of my column this week and writing column, this was, they're not going to play like that every week. And I mean, even in 19, they played like that every week for about 8 weeks. And then all of a sudden they weren't playing like that. And we're like, hey, what's wrong? Well, as Marvin Lewis once told me, the other team tries too. The other team gets together all week and tries to figure out how to stop all of this. And there's been 5 years of tape on Lamar that apparently left the Lions building last week. But in the coming weeks, there's a confidence level, not just for you and me or people calling the fan over on the FM side of the dial, flexing muscles and saying we're better in the power rankings. It's, we've seen it happen now. We've seen the room full of number one draft picks and wide receivers and a healthy Lamar and an offensive line that rounds in and what life's going to look like after J.K. Dobbins. And for 3 hours on a Sunday, they can measure that no matter how bad they are. If they lose two games in a row, they lose to Cleveland and Cincinnati, I could still go back and say, well, when nut cut time comes and they have to play a playoff game, can they play like that? Do they have the ability, when healthy, to go out and make that work for 60 minutes? And having seen it, now believed it, there's not a week the rest of the year, if they're healthy, that you won't believe that they're capable of that.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, it's funny you mentioned that, because you made mention of, you know, talking about some of the guys, you know, new guys, Beckham, you know, whatever. It actually struck me as we were in the locker room standing around Roquan Smith, and I wanted to ask him this, but it, you know, he had talked for several minutes and, you know, they eventually cut it off. But I thought back to when Roquan Smith was traded to this team. First of all, he only played a few games with Lamar last year before Lamar got hurt and then was done for the rest of the year.
He wasn't even here a year ago this week, right? Like, he came after this, right?
He came Halloween, right? So, but the point is, the offense had already been in decline at the time that Roquan Smith arrived. Now, he was there for the Saints game. They played well in that Monday night game. But even that wasn't an MVP, incredible Lamar Jackson performance. It was a good performance. But, you know, it struck me that this was the first game that Roquan Smith has been a Raven in which Lamar played unbelievable MVP like football, you know, and not just Lamar, but the entire offense doing what it did. I mean, this is the most points they had scored in a game since the Miami game in week two last year, you know, the shootout where they, of course, they choked away the big lead in the fourth quarter. But, you know, this is the first time Lamar had thrown three touchdowns in a game since week three against New England last year. So, you know, the point was, and it lends itself to what you were just saying, you know, for even those who haven't been around as long, it's like, okay, hey, that's what 2019 Lamar looked like. That's
how many of those guys are there? Beckham, Kyle Van Noy, Clowney, right? I'm just trying to think. Roquan.
All the rookies. Nelson Aguilar. I mean, go down
the list. A lot of guys. And let's be clear. Ronnie Stanley, he's like, well, I remember Marshall Yanda. Dude, that was 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. And let's be clear. This isn't being disparaging about how Lamar had played before this, or you know, you and I, you know, we debate how well he had played, but you know, he played excellent in Pittsburgh until the final interception, and his statistics should have been way better in that game if you didn't drop what, 8 or 9 passes, whatever it was. He played really excellent football in Cincinnati in week 2. It's not as though he's had a bad season, but Sunday, what we saw there, that was MVP level Lamar. That was 2019 level of Ravens dominance. And yeah, the offense isn't exactly the same. We know it's a different style of offense and it's not so heavy on the run. But as I've reminded you over and over when we've gotten into debates about this, Lamar didn't lead the league in touchdown passes that year by accident. You know, there's certainly a lot of high-end passing ability that's there. Now, we can talk about consistency and all those different things and how much they throw, how often they throw, the efficiency, all that. But what we saw Sunday was an operation coming together with a quarterback who has been an MVP before and looked a lot like an MVP on Sunday. Now, doesn't mean that that's going to happen every week to follow, but to your point, you've seen it. It's there. It came to fruition against a really good team on Sunday. And if you can do it once, then you can do it again. You can do it again. You can do it again. And as we get closer later into the season and closer to January, where we know it's what this is all going to come down to, we know that. And Lamar knows that. He even alluded to that on Sunday. That's why he wasn't overly jovial after the game. You know, he said it's regular season. You know where what he's thinking about in those regards. But you know, to be able to put together a full, complete 60 minutes like they did on Sunday across the board, you look at that and say, wow, this is a really dangerous team. And, you know, right now, for my money, where they are right now and understanding where the Bills are right now and the Dolphins, as great as their offense has looked at time, go look at their splits in terms of who they've beaten and who they've lost to. They've beaten up on weaker teams and they've lost to their toughest competition. Biggest challenger to Kansas City in the AFC right now, as we're standing in the final week of October, which isn't worth that much in the big picture. But for where it is right now, how can you not say, the Ravens, based on how they looked on Sunday? The Chiefs are the champs and they're the team that everyone's going to have to go through. That's reality in the AFC. But right now, based on how they played Sunday, I have a tough time putting anyone else in the AFC over the Ravens right now, as far as biggest threat to Kansas City. Again, understanding it's late October and there's a heck of a long way to go.
Luke Jones joining us here. He'll be in Owings Mills all week long. We'll be watching baseball here this week. You can always reach him at Baltimore, Luke. Just last thing I want to say on that is confidence level of young men. And young men, even meaning Clowney and Van Noy and some of these guys coming in. Before the game started at 1 o'clock on Sunday, if you and I would have done a piece at 12:30, and I would have done thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways with every player on the roster and say, who's overperforming? Well, Geno Stone, right? Kyle Hamilton's had a nice year. Roquan Smith is their best football player. You can make the Lamar case, but over 16 weeks on the field, the last 16 weeks, Roquan Smith's been their best football player consistently every single week for what he's done. Patrick Queen, not all that far behind, quite frankly, for the role that he's in. And you'd look and say, well, Ronnie Stanley, been injured, not feeling great. Andrews, production's down, whole offense is down. Bateman, who, where, what? Aguilar, better than we thought, right? I mean, we would all say that. The offensive line, little banged up. I mean, Linderbaum, injured, hadn't been in there. Factor when he's in there, running game. We all said, man, Gus lost a step, like for all of these, and Lamar, well, Lamar's okay. Lamar's good. Lamar's fine, but Lamar needs other things to happen. And Lamar's turned the ball over. Lamar's kicked the ball around a little bit this year, more than he would want to. So Marlon Humphrey's been injured, hadn't been on the field. He's one of their best players. Same thing with Stanley. These guys that are their top guys. Beckham, been injured, right? None of them were feeling great, a confident one. Tucker's missed kicks. I mean, Duvernay's fumble. They've had things happen, right? This is the week where they all can point to it and say, that's the best. This is a Harbaugh, the best version of myself. And I guess for a week, all of them can look at this and say, all right, we're ascending. We're ascending. And we couldn't have said that before 1 o'clock on Sunday. This is a chance to ascend. If they beat the Packers like that, or they beat the Bears like, you don't get any measurement. Beating a really good team, beating a team that's going to be playing in January, It showed me something, and I'm from Missouri, or Dundalk in this case.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, a lot of what you just laid out is why, you know what? Maybe for all the talk about they should be 6-0 instead of 4-2, you know, what you just laid out is why they were 4-2 rather than 6-0. And you know, some of that was self-inflicted and some of it's the NFL, right? And guess what? As healthy as they might be right now, and we've talked about that, they're going to have some more injuries over the course of the year. That's how it's going to work. But when you show the kind of ability that they showed across the board and the performance across the board on Sunday in every phase of the game, as you pointed out, against a good team, against a team that is absolutely going to win the NFC North and is absolutely going to be jockeying for one of the top seeds. Because for one, look at their remaining schedule. You know, they don't play another team. They don't play another team of real note until
Christmas.
Dallas in week 17. I mean, seriously, look at it. I mean, it's what, the Chargers? Okay. You know, so it speaks to that. But point is, that's a good football team. And you absolutely throttled them. I mean, it wasn't close. It wasn't as close as 38-6. Let's put it that way. It could have been way worse. So, yeah, that gives you some confidence. Now, you've got to channel that in the right way. It's not to spend all week smelling yourself and listening to how good you, people saying how good you are. It's to say, okay, that's how it looks. That's how great we can be. On to the next opponent, on to the next meeting, the next practice, the next session in the playbook, all of those things. And it's really how it works. And the teams that are able to do that and the teams that are able to build on that and not just be satisfied with that performance, those are the teams that are able to do that more consistently. So we'll see how it plays out. And again, not necessarily going to be looking at the Arizona Cardinals as the stiffest competition, but you are going out to the West Coast. And it is a team that at times has looked okay this year, other times not so good. So, you know, go out there, play clean, smart, good football, start fast as they've done all year. And the difference on Sunday, however, was they kept their foot on the pedal. You know, they kept their foot on the gas. They were able to thoroughly demolish the Lions to the point where there was going to be no talk of a comeback or the Ravens wilting as we've seen them do too many times over the last couple of years.
Here's Luke Jones. I am Nestor. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and Win Donation, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare out on the road. We got our 25th anniversary presented by Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. All that's coming your way. And even some World Series activity later on in the week. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Stay with us. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.